Well, I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 13, reading verses 22 through, actually, we're going to read through verse 30 rather than 29. Luke 13, 22 through verse 30. In the Pew Bible, it's page 907. Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. When once the owner of the house has got up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then in reply he will say to you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I do not know where you come from. Go away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrown out. Then people will come from east and west, from north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." This passage is not one of those nice, neat, feel-good passages in the New Testament. It's not one of those nice, neat, feel-good sayings of Jesus. In fact, this particular passage and what Jesus says is among the difficult or hard sayings of Jesus. We expect Jesus to be all lovey-dovey. We expect Jesus to welcome everyone. And Christ does welcome everyone who will come. Yet, this particular story and this particular text also raises serious questions about who will be among those that come to the feast. And so we begin with a few questions. Questions that were being asked by people in Jesus' day. Are you among those who were saved? What makes you think so? Are there things that are required other than just saying we believe and walking the aisle? Questions that we don't like to think about too much, to be completely honest. Far too often, we would much rather think about, all I have to do is say I believe, come down the aisle, shake the preacher's hand, let them vote me in, get sprinkled, dunked, or poured, and then I can go about my business, and that's my ticket. It's already been punched. But are these valid concerns for us, we who claim to be Christians? Are they valid questions? I think so. I think we need to take another look, perhaps, at who we are and at how we relate to God and to others. In this particular passage, Luke describes a situation where Jesus has been going along teaching and preaching on his way to Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, the text says, "And he set his face to go to Jerusalem." Which means that at that point in Jesus' ministry, late in his ministry, he had decided it's now time to make this journey, to suffer, to die, to do the mission for which he had come. A difficult thing for him to do in his humanity, because he knew that the death he would face would be a very horrid death. And so Jesus is going along, and at some point, someone stops him and asks, "How many will be saved?" And rather than giving a set answer, Jesus tells a story. A story related to the end of time, yes. And most theologians and scholars will talk about how this is, they use the big word, this is an eschatological story. It's about the end of time. And while it does relate to the end and to the judgment when we die and when the end of history occurs, Jesus' stories and teachings were not just for people to think about way off in the future. They were also told for those who were around Him at that moment in time to think and reflect upon their own lives at that particular point in time, the lives of His contemporary hearers. And so He's asked the question, will those who are saved be few or will they be many? And before He tells the story, He says, first of all, you need to strive to enter by the narrow door. A door that He eventually says in His story will at some point be locked and a householder will cut off the guest list. Yet those left outside will be able to see what's going on inside, and that will cause great weeping and great sorrow for them. As Jesus went along, He taught many. He taught some in homes. He taught some in synagogues. He taught many, many more times in the streets. And here, evidently, this question has been asked by someone as Jesus is walking along the streets, perhaps through a town, maybe in the countryside. And so this question is asked, who will be saved? How many will be saved by God? It's an open question for Jesus' hearers. Many Jews believed the promises to the patriarchs meant that, and I'm quoting from some of the Jewish writings, all Israelites have a share in the world to come. That just being a Jew, being an Israelite, meant it didn't matter what you did. You were going to have a share in the life to come. In other places, a book that's not in the canon but was read by some, 4th Ezra, there's a teaching that, and I quote, the Most High made this world for the sake of many, but the world to come for the sake of only a few. Many have been created, only a few will be saved. And the thought among the Jews of Jesus' day, especially among the highly religious Jews of Jesus' day, was that they were among the few. Simply because of being a son of Abraham and being religious. Attending the synagogue, going to the temple, doing the sacrifices when they were supposed to. The question of salvation, the salvation of Israel, was a very important one for the early church as well. In fact, Paul will write about that in Romans. But the real focus for Luke and for his audience at this point in time was, who is truly Christian? That's what Luke is trying to get at here with this story that Jesus tells and Jesus answers. Who is truly Christian? And Jesus says, struggle or strive to enter through the narrow door. Now it's interesting, you might reflect and say, wait a minute, we've heard somewhere that Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. That's in Matthew. That's in Matthew. But here in Luke, the word is struggle, to strive. And it's in the imperative. It's not an option for Christians. Christianity is not as easy as we oftentimes make it out to be. The Christian life is not just pie in the sky by and by. The root meaning of the word here, to struggle, is involved in engaging in a battle or an athletic contest. It is to work, to be disciplined, and to work hard to prepare oneself to be part of that kingdom. In Luke, Jesus says, it will be a struggle to enter and fit through the narrow gate or the narrow door. But then again, is that not part of the familiar call to true discipleship? Jesus says other things like, take up your cross daily and follow me. We don't like to think about taking up crosses. That's not a burden that somebody else puts on us. That's something that we take up ourselves. He also says, seek God's kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms to the poor. And there are many other things that we could mention. But there are also many things in life that keep us sometimes from being able to squeeze in through the narrow door. That's the warning that Jesus gives. There are far too many things in life that will keep us from being able to squeeze in through the narrow door. The narrow door and discipleship go together, and they mean discipline. They mean discipline. In verse 25 in this story, Jesus indicates that there will be a time when the narrow door will be locked and no one else will be allowed in. He says this in part, I think, to speak of the seriousness to his hearers, the seriousness of being a follower. Not something to be taken lightly, but something about which we need to be serious. Now, that doesn't mean we sit around in sackcloth and ashes and look like we've been sucking on lemons or sour pickles all the time. But what that does mean is that even in the not so serious instances of our lives, we are serious about being God's child and showing forth that preparation that we have. And so he talks about this householder who gets up when the banquet is in full swing, and those who did not enter early enough not arriving. It's not that they weren't invited. The host doesn't know them because they had not been involved with him and his people. They say, oh, but you know, we ate and we drank close to you. And you came through our streets. You even taught sometimes out in the streets. So why would Jesus refuse to allow them inside if they ate and drank near him? And if they heard him teach in the streets, notice, they ate and drank near him, not with him. They heard him in the streets, not in their homes. Why? Because they didn't really invite him in. In fact, at the most, they were trying to get in simply on being an acquaintance. But you know, there's a difference in an acquaintance and a friend. Many of us have lots of acquaintances. But how many friends do we really have? Because friendship means involvement. Friendship means being willing to give and not always take. Jesus and his words may have been in their presence, but they refused to truly take them in and to struggle with them and what it really meant. It was not a call to get out of trouble in life. Far too often, we find when we do accept Christ that the struggles increase. Sometimes we lose one set, but we pick up a whole different set. There are persons from all over the world, Jesus then says, and even from their own neighborhoods that will come and eat. They had been invited and they had come. But these who were on the outside had been invited and sent their regrets. Then when it was too late, they decided to ride in on the coattails. They said, "Oh, but we were close by." They had lived lives as they wanted, thinking, "Oh, I'll always be able to get there. Might be at the last minute, but look at the thief on the cross." Or they thought, "Well, I walked down the aisle, I got baptized. I don't have time to struggle with the questions or the deeper life. I said I believe in Jesus, and I do." I live a respectable life. I read the Bible every now and then. I go to church on special occasions. Isn't that enough? Jesus indicates, no. That is not enough. Because the struggle is not something that is done just on occasion. The struggle is to live daily. Look around you in the world and all the many things that we have that pull and tug. Read an interesting article recently that even asked the question, is it truly right? And I'm not going at the things coming up. I have another purpose for this. Is it truly right and fair to lure in youth to church by having them play violent video games, war games, and that kind of thing? Because there is this whole thing where they call people in and they have tournaments with some of these military games, and that's how they get them there. Of course, then again, we do have a nuclear submarine named the Corpus Christi, or Body of Christ, in our arsenal. That's not the struggle. The struggle is to live with all of these other things around us tugging and pulling, and to still be faithful and committed. To strive to fit through the narrow door. Now, that doesn't mean that we live in a monastic lifestyle or a puritanical lifestyle. Jesus ate and drank with all kinds of folks. Jesus laughed and lived with all kinds of folks. But Jesus regularly studied, and as was his custom, or should I change that word, as was his commitment, he was in the place of worship, even if he was tired, or felt like the people were hypocrites, or didn't like him too much, or fit what he wanted out of them. He was faithful to that commitment. And he calls you and me, just as he called those folks, just as he called that person who asked him the question, "Who will be saved? Will it be a lot or just a few?" To be faithful even when it's a struggle. Jesus was asked, "Will the saved be few?" And he speaks of a great banquet. A banquet in which the questioner was left out. While many others ate at God's table, those who heard the call to struggle and strive, to do the hard work of following and entering by the narrow door, entered. I guess we need to ask ourselves, all of us, myself included, have we missed something along the way? We've been invited to the banquet. But have we tried to take the easy route? Or have we maybe misunderstood the way to get there? Perhaps we have put off getting there because we don't do the hard work of study, of ministry to the aged, of reaching out to the disabled, of helping the poor, the marginalized, the person next to us in church with whom we don't agree, or the neighbor across the fence who might have poisoned our dog. Don't know if y'all saw that on the news a couple of weeks ago or not. Or the person who won't even speak and treats us as if we're not there. hard work is to continue to reach out, to share life, and to share grace. We're invited to the banquet. We all are. In fact, God invited the whole world to the banquet. As we remember Christ's invitation in a few moments, an invitation that actually wasn't written in ink, nor was it printed on a nice postcard, but was written on a cross in blood, in sweat, and with tears. Perhaps we need to ask if we're doing the hard work, if we're struggling and striving to enter by the narrow door, not just for our good, but for the good that will do for those around us. May we pray. Lord, as we hope to come to your banquet and to your feast, help us to look deep inside, to take the hard look that Jesus says we need to find those areas where we need to improve, to find ourselves truly one of those striving as disciples, not just so that we may come to the feast, but so that others might have that opportunity as well. We offer ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn before communion is number 552. I am thine, O Lord. As we sing, may we examine our hearts and our minds to see if we truly have been striving. Our altar is open for a decision on behalf of Christ to join this fellowship or to recommit ourselves to that service. Number 552, I am thine, O Lord.